Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, as you could tell, the title of today's sermon is Climate Change and the Scriptures. Climate Change and the Scriptures. We hear a lot about that subject, and today we want to talk about it from a biblical perspective. Is there anything to it, and is it relevant to talk about this subject, and in some cases, is it real? But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite your sweet spirit to be among us as we deal with this topic, Father, as we always want to have a biblical perspective about life. We ask, Father, that you will guide us and that you will be honored and praised as we go through this subject. In Jesus' name, amen. As you could tell, I'm not a professional or a trained scientist, so I don't want to do or go in a field that I'm not a specialist in, but I do know something or two about the Bible, and that is where we're going to go to. NOAA, which is the National Center for Environmental Information, or NCEI, released an update of their billion-dollar disaster report. You could find it there in the WWNCDC, NOAA, which is spelled NOAA.gov, and /billions. Confirming what much of the nation experienced throughout 2021, another year of frequent and costly extremes. In broader context, the total cost of the United States in disaster over the last 5 years, from 2017 to 2021, is $742.1 billion have been spent on natural disasters, with a five-year annual cost average of $148.4 billion per year are used to fight disasters, both of which are new records and nearly triple to 42-year inflation, the adjusted annual average cost. The United States, in this billion-dollar disaster damage cost, over the last 10 years, that is 2012 to 2021, were historically large. I'm just giving you numbers for now. Over the 10 years, the United States has spent about $1 trillion from 142 separate billion-dollar events fighting natural disasters. $1 trillion. It is no surprise that indeed climate change is a real thing. But the question for us today as Christian is, why does it matter to us? And what is the biblical perspective about all these things that are going on in the world? As a matter of fact, go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. The book of Romans is right after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, Paul said these words, looking at the earth. He said, "For we know that the whole creation groans," and what, my friends? "Groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. From a biblical perspective, indeed, the world is what? It is old, it is groaning, and it is in labor. The world indeed is experiencing a climate change. It is not a brand new earth. It is an earth that is growing old. The Old Testament prophets as well realized that about earth in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6. We're going to use our Bibles a bit. So just take a hold of that word of God. If you don't have a Bible, we have one in the front pew. And if you'd like, you could use your phone. But don't be distracted by God's grace. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6. The prophet Isaiah said this about earth. And there, Isaiah chapter 51 verse 6, it says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will go what, my friend? Grow old like a garment." In other words, earth is indeed experiencing birth pangs and will grow old the way that we know it. "And those who dwell in it will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished." From the Word of God, from both the New and the Old Testament, we know that the world is growing old. Somebody might say, "Well, but didn't God promise that there will be four seasons to Noah?" Indeed, that is true. There will be four seasons to the cycle of the earth. We know from prophecy that the earth will be standing when Jesus comes. Amen? But in the meantime, it is growing old and waxing with labor. So is climate change real from the perspective of the Bible? Yes, it is. It is real. But here is one of the reasons the Bible says as well that the earth has been experiencing all of these things. Actually, we get it from "to be like Jesus." The first quote there, if you could pull it up, 239. This is actually from the pen of inspiration. It says, "God made Adam and Eve perfectly holy and happy. And the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or what, my friends? Shadow of the curse. It is the transgression of God's law, the law of love that has brought woe and what? And death." When God made the world, it was perfect. Everything in it was good. But what caused the transgression? It is our forsaking the law of love. The root of climate change, so to speak, is man forsaking the law of love. But there's something as well we have to remember about the climate that is changing. Is that it also reveals a great controversy battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And I'm going to highlight something for you that maybe you have not paid attention to, or I have not paid close attention to. As we look upon earth, we see the battle between good and evil, because Satan is allowed to only operate in one planet. And what planet is that? It is earth, Revelation chapter 12, "And he was cast down from heaven. Woe on you who dwell on earth. The devil knows that he has but a short time." So the place of his operation is where? It is right here in Kalamazoo. The battle between good and evil can be seen in the flower and the thorn. It can be seen in the beautiful rivers to the desert. It can be seen from the waste of resources. By the way, do you know how much food we waste? About 40% of all the food that we consume, we waste. Well, not consume, but buy, we waste on average in America. If you're a farmer, that might be, you might understand how much labor was put in that food. But we are not good stewards today. I don't know, maybe you're a good steward, but I'm not the best steward. And we can see it where there is so much food at the same time, much of the world will not experience what it means to have a full stomach. There are disparities in the way how you look at earth. It is a window into the great controversy between good and evil, between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Poverty and famine, and at the same time, people that have so much. I was reading about a man who decided to get a golden toilet made out of gold. I don't want to ask the man why. But at the same time, there are people around the world who literally live under $1 a day. We see the great controversy happening right before our eyes, but some people have offered solution to this climate change. And one of them has been the Pope Francis. He has, as a matter of fact, made it a subject of his biggest calling, so to speak, 3 years after he became Pope. Now, I want to speak something. He shares a lot of good things in his writing, but we have to be very careful, and we'll highlight why today. He wrote one of his largest works called Laudatory Si. In there, he presents about 246 main points about how to address the issue of climate change. But one of the main points that he brings about three times in all those 246 points is this, and I want to read it to you. Laudatory Si, Pope Francis, given on Pentecost, so to speak, when they celebrate Pentecost, I believe it was May 24, 2015. He says, although the wickedness of man was great on the earth, here's his solution, by the way, it is to honor the Sabbath. He says, one of the main solutions is to honor the law of God, especially the Sabbath. Notice, although the wickedness of man was great on the earth, this is him, and the Lord was sorry for that he made man on earth. Nonetheless, through Noah, who remained innocent and just, God decided to open a path of salvation. In this way, he gave humanity the chance of a new beginning. All it takes is one good person to restore hope. The biblical tradition clearly shows that this renewal entails recovering and respecting the rhythms inscribed in nature by the hand of the Creator. We see this, for example, in the law of the Sabbath. On the seventh day, God rested from all of his work, and he commanded Israel to set aside each seventh day as a day of rest and in what, my friends? As a Sabbath, and he gives their biblical text. Indeed, Genesis, what's interesting is actually Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, but he forgot to put Genesis 1, which says that it was given to man, not just to the Jews. We're going to see why that's important. The next quote, he goes, this is point 71. Now we go to point number 237. Now he clarifies to you what is Sabbath, or what is that day he's talking about. He says, on Sunday, our participation in the Eucharist has special importance. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationship with God. Now listen to the words carefully. With ourselves and with others, with the what? With the world. Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the first day of the new creation, whose first fruits are the Lord's risen humanity, the pledge of the final transfiguration of all created reality. It also proclaims man's eternal rest in who? In God. There's this big thing that climate change indeed is caused by human activity. The Bible does say that indeed man has a responsibility for the way the earth is looking because man was given the job of tilling and keeping the earth. So, one of the solutions that Pope Francis offers is that it would be a good thing if man ceased from their activity to give earth a rest. And guess what day that should be? It should be the day of the resurrection, Sunday. He's right about some parts of this thing, is that indeed man has transgressed the law of God, forgotten about the law. But at the same time, seeking to change times and laws according to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, is also transgressing the law of God. This agenda of having a day of rest is becoming very popular. And we here today, as Bible-believing Christians, we have to remember that respect for the law of God means respect for the Word of God. And when we respect the Word of God, we have to make sure and we have to be careful that we don't follow a lie. At the same time, indeed, again, climate change is a real thing. The world, we're living in serious time, for earth is growing old and waxing. And God has called us to be stewards of the earth in the way how we take care of it. For nature is wonderful. But let us be careful about the forces at play and the agendas that are being promoted through this vehicle of climate change. Now, I want to be very careful to let you know, my friends, that we, if you want to be biblical, you cannot deny it. You cannot say, well, no, climate change is not real. That is a hoax. You'll have to argue with who? Paul and with the prophet Isaiah. The earth is getting old. But when people promote to you different things, be very careful where they're coming from. Because this will be one of the biggest conflicts at the end of time. What do we do? Lastly, the world and how it's changing is also a sign that was prophesied in the Word of God. Go with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 3. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 3. Are you still with me, my friends? Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to verse 3. It says, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the what, my friends? Of the earth. What location is this focused on? The earth. That the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree, until what? Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, continuing, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of God on their where? On their foreheads. The Bible is telling us right there that there are angels who are holding the winds of strife. But there's a point where man's wickedness and man's actions will be so great that the winds of strife will be let loose. Now, I do not want to imagine how the world will look like when the angels holding the forces of darkness back are let loose. Over the last couple of years, we have seen how the world can change. But God in His mercy has been holding back the forces of destruction. Because what does He want to do, my friends? He wants to save you and I. I'm not sharing with you this sermon today to scare you. The Word of God is trying to share this message to us today to save us. That the world as we know it is on borrowed time, and if we're not careful, there will come a time where the forces of darkness are let loose. There's a quote there from Christian Service, page 52. She says, "The restraining spirit of God is even now being withdrawn from the world. Hurricanes, storms, tempests, fire, and flood, disaster by the sea and land, follow each other in quick succession." Remember the Noah report? These are some of the best scientists who have studied Earth, and they have seen that things have been accelerating, accelerating, accelerating. Here's the pen of prophecy. By the way, this was written in, I believe this is from testimonies that Christian Service uses it. This was probably in the late 1800s. But even then, she saw what will happen. She says, "Science seeks to explain all these. The signs thickening around us, telling us of the near approach of the Son of God, are attributed to another than the true cause. Man cannot discern the sentinel angel restraining the four winds, that they should not blow until the servants of God are sealed. But when God shall bid his angels loose the winds, there shall be such a scene of strife as no pen can do what? Can picture. The sign of the climate change of the earth is also a sign of the coming of God. Jesus is coming again. There's no doubt about it. And when we see these signs, we cannot deny it. Scientists are not denying it. The world is not denying that something is going on, and the pen of inspiration and the Word of God tells us what? There is a time that Jesus is coming. Amen? The last quote, Christian Service, page 50. But notice she highlights there what will be the issue at the end of time. Never did this message, the message that we talked about in Revelation, never did this message apply with greater force than it applies today. More and more, the world is setting at naught the claims of God. Men have become bold in transgression. The wickedness of the inhabitants of the world has almost filled up the measure of their iniquity. The earth has almost reached the place where God will permit the destroyer to work His will upon it. Now, the reason why that sentence is very important is because even with all the violence and the decay that we see in the world today, the destroyer still does not have full sway over earth. God in His mercy is still holding the winds of strife. We have not seen the full effect of the evil one upon earth. Think about that. It says, the substitution of the laws of man for the law of God. The exaltation by merely human authority. Remember the quote that I read you earlier on? By merely human authority of Sunday in the place of what? The Bible Sabbath is the last act in the drama. When this substitution becomes universal, God will do what? Will reveal Himself. Now, I cannot judge Pope Francis. I do not know his heart. And I gotta say, he might even be a very good man. But the office and the agendas that are being promoted through the umbrella of climate change are calling upon mankind to honor a day of rest, to give earth a rest. That is not your Sabbath Saturday. That is the Sunday. And this pen of prophecy tells us when this issue becomes universal, guess what will happen? Jesus will reveal Himself. I want to leave you with hope today. Number one, as a Seventh-day Adventist, do not deny the fact that the world is growing old. Because if you do, you might be denying the Word of God. But when you see that you yourself, what you can do personally is be a good steward of the earth that God has given you. There should be no better steward in the world than a Seventh-day Adventist of the earth. There should be no better steward that makes sure that we are taking care of earth like a Seventh-day Adventist. But when you see all of these different things going on and the agendas being promoted, be very careful not to fall for the bandwagon. Because some of the things that are being promoted might be the very things that will cause the end of time. But as darkness, the greatest darkness is also the greatest revealer of when the light shall come. Jesus says, in the midst of the darkness, go with me to our last text, Luke chapter 21, verse 31. Luke chapter 21 and verse 31. Luke chapter 21 and verse 31. The Bible says there, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that what, my friends? The kingdom of God is what? It is near. When you see all these things happening, my friends, don't despair. Don't run in panic and fear. But the Bible says to do what? Remember, Jesus is coming. And as the winds of strife will be let loose, and we will experience challenges such as we have never imagined, remember there's a God who's never caught by surprise. And if you stay close to Him, you will overcome. Jesus says, in this world you will have many trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The appeal today from the Word of God is straightforward. Look to Jesus. Be a faithful steward of what He has given you. And one day this earth will be made new. And Jesus will dwell here. And you today have the opportunity to be part of that heavenly kingdom. All you have to do is accept Jesus in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, when all these things are happening around me, I want to be faithful to You. And I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. If that's your desire to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be faithful to You, I want to keep my eyes on You, and I want to be saved when You come again, then join me by standing with me. And as we stand together, we are claiming the promise that when Jesus comes again, we will be with Him, not only in heaven, but when this earth is made new. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have seen by Your grace through the Scriptures and through the pen of inspiration that indeed we are in the midst of a great controversy, and the earth is a prime example of that controversy. But we're reminded at the end of the book that, Lord Jesus, You will overcome the forces of darkness, and You will come again. Help us to keep our eyes on You today. And as the storms are raging around us, let us know that our salvation draws near. Thank You, Jesus, for the hope of Your word. And thank You for loving us to the uttermost. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.